1.666 miles above sea level. We alter your locus of radius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps the sin flood of statism out of your head and keeps you rich in Bipcot buttons and stickers. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael W. Dean and Nick Hazelton?
It's working. Yeah. I can feel it.
Yeah. I just accidentally sent a friend request to somebody on Facebook that has 911 Truth in their profile picture. I'm trying to cancel the request right now. Right, go on.
That notwithstanding, the Freedom of Beans is covered by a Bipcot no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except governments, government agents, and just for tonight. Reuse is not allowed by anybody with 9/11 Truth in their Facebook profile pic, who may or may not have gotten a...
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, the Bipcot license should just be updated to, like... It's. You sound like you really have a burning desire. Go ahead. What is it?
No, like, Steve. I feel that speaking union leader to CEO, we should address this. Shall the Bipcot be amended to include people with 9/11 Truth references in there? Well, people with non-ironic 9/11 Truth, because I put some jet fuel steel beams as my profile pic, and that is totally allowable.
Say, I'm totally fine with someday updating it again. It's at 1.1 now. I'm thinking of instead of making it like 1.12 or 1.1, you know, whatever, I think we should just add a point, another one, like, you know, the fifth or sixth version will be version 1.111111111. So, speaking of long numbers, I've been looking into this possibility of creating Bipcoin. Nobody has stepped forward yet to work for free to create said cryptocurrency and be paid in this cryptocurrency, but I'm sure the person's out there.
What is wrong with everyone?
I know. And my plan was this would be different than other cryptocurrencies because it would actually be assigned value from the beginning. People could mine it and spend it for radio ads on the Freedom Fiends and for yak meat. Although I talked to Nick and he's like, heck no, man. I sell out on all my yak meat. I'm getting fiat for it. I don't want your crypto. Right. So basically he's getting
statist.
Yeah, he thinks that his yak meat is worth so much that he will rather take fiat for it than the new cryptocurrency that's going to save the world.
Yeah,
it is a sin against libertarianism.
$600 in a night.
What, Nick?
Watch it jump to $600 in a night. The value of Bitcoin. Yeah.
Do you know how much a 30-second ad on here is worth?
Buttons. Yeah, I've sold some before in the past, but I always felt guilty after it, and people never renewed. So, you know, the thing is, though, it's not that we don't have an audience. We do have an audience. It's that libertarians are A, broke, and B, skeptical. So advertising on a anarcho-capitalist libertarian voluntarist radio show is it's pretty cheap, but it's not your best use of your ad dollar. I'm the most honest person on radio with what I just said. All the other shows on this network, you should probably buy their ads. But this show, you're just not going to get any return for your ad money. Just send us donations. There you go.
Disclaimer. Right.
Yeah, disclaimer. So Nick hates liberty. He doesn't want to sell a little bit of yak jerky for
currency that's usable.
For some vaporware cryptocurrency.
Yeah. No, I would take if you create Bipcoin, I won't ship steak or burger, but I'll ship jerky for it.
You'll ship meat yak byproducts. Speaking of yak byproducts, young MC yak byproduct. That's Steve's rap name. You have a new John about yakking in the streets of Kensington. You want to go ahead and drop that?
Yes. So there's recommended viewing for every single listener of the Freedom Fiends, and that is a video that's on YouTube right now, and it is called Purse First by Bob the Drag Queen, who is from RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm not Derek J. Freeman. I don't enjoy that, like, the homophile things on the level that he does. So I was very skeptical going into this. However, you need to know a couple things about this video. First of all, it's got a narrative arc, and I like the music videos from like the 80s, and I enjoy that. I think that's something artistic.
Redemption in the third act. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. It's a regular Freedom Fiends episode, and this drag queen starts off, and it's got voguing in it, and voguing is this dance style done by generally gay black men in the city, where it's like a lot of arm movements. It's basically like Irish dance if you were a black drag queen. And there's a lot of dropping and what have you. And the singing for it is this like kind of staccato. And it's like, cackety, cackety, cack, cack, cack. And in the video, there Bob does this amazing like beat drop where he's like, cat, cat, cack, boom. Cack, boom, you walk into the room. Cackety, 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 cack. Do a death drop on you, fall on your back. Boom to the cack, 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 cack. Boom to the cack, cack it, don't stop. Pick it back up. You do a death drop. And the entire time I was thinking of Nick Hazelton being like, yak, 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 boom. Yak, boom, you farm into the room. Yakety, 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 yak. Make it Bipcott and you fall on your back. Yakety, yak, 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 yak. Anyway. But highly recommended. Go watch Purse First. Purse First. Purse First. Walk into the room. Purse First. Yeah.
Yeah.
This coming up break is going to be longer than Purse First is on YouTube. Just saying. This is why our ads don't succeed.
Yeah. I bought a bunch of little USB Wi-Fi security cameras for my home and put them around my home today. And they're kind of weird in that they not only do video, and they do really good video, and they upload it to the cloud. So, you know, if there's a home invasion and somebody steals the cameras, it still goes up. And I have a friend who has the password. So when I get murdered and my cats aren't there and my cats are eating me.
Or you're being bullied at Gigi Allen's grave.
The video of it will be on YouTube of the cats eating me. So it's weird that these little cameras also have speakers. Like when you're finished setting it up, like this really low resolution, bad audio, tiny speaker, Japanese woman's voice says like it's Jinglish. It's Japanese, you know, Chinglish, but Japanese. It's like setup completion instead of completed. But the really cool thing about this, or weird thing about it, is you can speak into your cell phone, into your smartphone, and talk. And you can monitor it live on your phone too. So I don't know what that's for. Like, you know, so if you're on vacation in Vegas or something and you check in and see your house being robbed, you can have this really quiet, tinny voice over in the corner of the house saying, "Get off my property," you know, and they're going to like run out. No, but whenever I talk over it, the cats all of a sudden spend like 10 minutes trying to find the voice. And I don't think it's like their master's voice. I think it's like the audio is so bad, it sounds like an insect to them and they're trying to catch the bug. So that's my bad audio story for the day. Speaking of reparations, so let's talk about this reparation site. Does anyone have it pulled up?
I can get it pulled up quite quickly. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was on your other. I was on the snuff film you sent me earlier.
Oh, the kid shooting himself in the cheek with the 22. Yeah, he lives.
Yeah. So there's a reparations website. So this comes from InfoWars.
But it's real. We checked it out.
Yeah.
And it's real. Yes.
And yeah, it's pulling up. See the okay. Here we go. Self-loathing whites offer to clean for, massage, and be shouted at by blacks to atone for slavery. Oh, yes. Shouted at.
Reparations.me.
So I take it they're going to go to a movie out in Philadelphia.
Be shouted at. Yeah. So basically, I mean, I hate the idea of this. I hate the idea of, you know, anybody thinking they owe reparations for people six generations back that you know, they weren't even related to, did to people to people six generations back who are alive today. But I guess I like the idea of it not being done through the government. Like, you know, there have been calls for the government to give reparations to black people for slavery. I like that this is being done with the free market. If you're an idiot who feels guilty because you're white. You can go to reparations.me and offer to basically give money to or sort of be a slave to a black person for a day, including allowing them to yell at you. That's one of the funniest things. There are actually people in here offering, you know, I'll come over, if you're anywhere, you know, within an hour of Chicago, I'll come over to your house and you can yell at me for an hour.
How many break down crying, though? Because that's the thing. That might make it a little harder to continue shout at someone if it's... If they're
that could be a plus too. Like, you know, somebody might post, you know, if you're anywhere within an hour of Kensington, I'll come over to your house and you could yell at me and I promise to break down crying. Somebody might get a kick out of that.
You know, I'm good. I think things generally work for the best in Kensington when I don't give out my address and just take all comers.
Take all mummers. Yes.
Oh, that was local. Yeah. Look up Mummer's Parade if you want to see another drag queen video. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think that you don't owe any reparations to the black man because you live in Kensington.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. No, but beyond that, I don't owe the Democrats anything. And that has been a sticking point with a lot of homosexuals lately.
They've been peeing on your town all week.
And they've been sending the commies in, as we noted last night.
You have any commie updates?
Who remember? There's not commie updates, but I met up with this documentarian today and like gave him a little tour, and we were walking, and I'm walking back to the subway, and what's playing on the mall outside Independence Mall at Fifth and Market in Philadelphia, but a huge screen with Barry Satoru himself giving his address. Obama giving
his home address,
giving his address to the DNC. Oh no, I'll dox him right now. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington D.C. He violated a BIPCOT. That's why I doxed him right then.
There you go.
And he's given out his like 3 minutes love or whatever it is, and everybody's
2 minutes hate.
Well, no, that's Trump. And everybody's cheering and whooping, and I lay out my Don't Take My Bolo Ties flag, and we sit down on it, and we watch it, and I came, and my scoffing at points where everybody else was getting all feels definitely drew the ire of some honest-to-God Bernie bros in the wild. Yeah.
You carrying the flag with you everywhere now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These colors don't run.
People can order that flag. The flag with Steve Miller's face on it.
Great flag.
Don't tread on me. It says, don't take my bolo tags and ties. And Steve's the head of the snake. Go to blackblock.com.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar Hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
Got a dance.
Yeah, do the yak, man. The Nick yak. Nick,
everybody, yak. Do the Nick. Do the yik nak.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that before the Velvet Underground, who's the guy? He's in my Selby movie. What's his name? There you go.
People had to travel on the satin down low.
Lou Reed. Before Velvet Underground, Lou Reed had a single that never went anywhere, and it was a song called Do the Ostrich. And it was like he's trying to invent a dance craze. So, Nick and the Internet. We're going to...
Are we back? Did we all get drummed? Are we? Oh, am I back? Oh, just me.
Bean phone.
Am I carrying the show?
Huh?
Oh, that was scary.
What?
We got dropped.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. You and I are back. I don't know about Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you carrying the show for how long?
For like a second or two.
Oh, no. So last night's show was called Trump is the vibrator in Hillary's sock drawer. And tonight's show is called Hillary is the vibrator in Trump's sock drawer. And we have art for it. Nick's not old enough to look at the art for it, but it'll be on the website. Did you see it, Nick? Did you peek where you shouldn't have looked?
I might have.
Fiend phone.
It's Fiend PG phone. Rating. We'll get by. Steve, you there? You back, Steve?
But before the internet, we didn't have movie ratings. We did.
Yeah. Have you that been talking the whole time? You've been gone. You've been.
Yeah. No. Well. Okay. So I was buffering hard. I got a kilo of Kenny G. And I buffered, and then Fiend.
There he goes.
Phone crashed. Gave this error message that was heretofore unseen, which I will discuss with you at the break, or perhaps on air right now.
Tell me now.
It said party didn't respond. Which
you're not a party guy anymore. You're like settled down and married. You're not a partier. That's what that means. Is that your youth is up. And you're married and boring now, Steve. And
Fiend, I just never thought the message would come via Fiend phone. Error message.
Fiend phone knows it. Even Fiend phone knows you've settled down. I've been telling you for years, settle down, Steve. Settle down. But you finally settled down. So
years. My 1-year Fiendiversary is this coming October. I'll be registered at the Amazon.com Freedom Fiend link.
Yeah, but you know, I've been watching you for years. I've been watching you come up through the clubs in Philly and pay your dues, and just because you've only known about me for
collect
year,
other people's mean, dues as union leader.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's how I make my money right now. Just like Adam Kokesh had franchise fees for protests, I have union dues. I have union dues from a labor union for a job that doesn't pay.
I don't know about this franchise fees. What is this?
Oh, I never told you this story. All right, Kokesh. It was the year. Yep, it was the year 2013.
Bitcoin was just starting to be worth some money. Yes, we remember it fondly. Go on.
Yes, it was the best of times. It was the libertarian of times.
Yes.
And our boy, chaboy Adam Kokesh, had come to Philadelphia to participate in a protest that I was involved in called Smoketown Prohibition. And it was a public weed smoking protest, and they thought they were the first people to publicly smoke weed at a protest ever. And
I smoked weed at a protest in 1984 in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
While the dead Kennedys were playing illegally without a permit with a generator on the Washington Mall on July 4th, 1984. But go on.
And it had been done at the exact same location, actually, like 10 years prior, but whatever. Anyway, so they planned this event, and it goes on.
Adam Kokesh was 2 years old when the first time I smoked marijuana at a protest. So there. Anyway.
So he comes to Philadelphia.
I owe him reparations. He can come over to my house and yell at me, and I'll film it and put it on YouTube. Charge Bitcoin and give it
heavily to edit it.
As reparations.
Let Tony give you a mohawk. Anyway.
Tony Stark.
To inside. Anyway. So
I've been seeing a lot of hits on our site from Omaha, Nebraska. I think it's Tony. I think he's starting to listen to every show, which is, cool. One more listener.
Bless his grind.
We can raise our ad rates. We have one more listener. 10,000, 12,000 Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is soaring.
Because of Tony Styles. Yep.
So Kokesh, to be continued.
I'm not tying the Bitcoin to Tony Styles in any way. I mean, we're a joke, but we're not a.
You're gonna get sued.
Possibly fraudulent.
You're gonna get sued in BIP court.
In BIP court.
By BIP lawyers.
By the law firm of Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Styles.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Trigger weeds.
Yeah.
So I'm telling.
Before we get, before
I'm telling.
We go on. Yeah, I'm talking there. Radio. Yeah. So I was just gonna hand it to you, Miller Miller. I was gonna say, and now Steve Miller Miller will favor us with a tale,
with a thrilling conclusion to tawdry tales of life in libertarian activism. So it was a protest where we.
Thank you for your
weed.
Cervix.
Kokesh was coming down with his staff, if you would like to call them that.
And people that later robbed him, or he claims robbed him after he raised a bunch of money,
and then didn't spend it on legal defense. Correct.
Yeah.
So, any hoodle, they all come down. There's total maybe 300 people at this protest.
And his staff? Oh, it's a protest.
And
how many staff do you have?
Four or five, and. Kokesh and N.A. Poe, my friend, co-host, weirdo.
Not a professor of economics is what that stands for.
Yep. Yeah. Indeed. Get arrested. And they're in the can for a week because they were too arrogant to do like 5 minutes of YouTube footage on how to get arrested at a protest. And were like resisting and what have you. And they both wind up getting probation, but Adam gets into more trouble with the guns later. But that was, of course, unknown at the moment. But anyway,
guns
they
and
do
mushrooms,
a week.
The road to freedom.
Yep, guns and shrooms, the road to prison.
Yes.
So, they do a week in jail, and they come out, and they're all jubilant, and they're back.
They're
in
all buff.
Apartment.
They come out, and they're all buff. They've been lifting each other for a week,
and they had been cellmates, and while they were cellmates. They come up with this plan where they are, this is a direct quote, never going to have to work again because they had just gone to prison for weed, which
well, Kokesh's dad is worth like $500 million, too.
And their big plan is that they're going to franchise Smoke Down Prohibition, the weed protest, and hold them all around the country and charge people money to hold a protest for their cause.
Wow.
This coming from somebody who like made a big deal of how against intellectual property laws he was.
Wow.
And
it's amazing.
I didn't say anything. What I said was, can you repeat that again? Because I would like to write down every word you say. And I did. And I have it. I should have had it signed by everybody in the room, but
Was something that was never public. They like sobered up and realized it was ridiculous, or they're doing this.
No, they sobered up and they realized it was ridiculous. But for like a good solid like couple days, this was like the career plan was don't work, just go around giving speeches at protests and you'll make money.
That's interesting, too, for someone who, Adam Kokesh, I have really mixed feelings about him. You know, I kind of like his, like, jaywalking, Jay Leno, man on the street kind of stuff, especially when he's talking to military members, because, you know, he looks like a Marine, he was a Marine, he can talk the Marine talk, and he can talk to military people and kind of plant the seed of liberty in their head, but that's about all I like him for. You know, he didn't pay Derek J money he owed him. He's been kind of, I won't call him an outright fraud the way I was with some other Liberty people, but he's kind of done some things that look kind of strange, you know, like raised a bunch of money. Him and Molyneux have raised like five-figure amounts for movies that never came out. You know about this, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is a common thing. Yeah. Please fund my project, and then the project never happens.
It's, yeah, whereas I make projects that are great and put them out and then cyberbag after they're done. So, you know, who...
That's ex post facto, though. That's different.
Doing it wrong. Yeah. So, yeah. But the other thing he did that's kind of wonky, I think, is he kind of jumped in front of my friend's parade. So my friend Eddie Free came up with the idea to do that that dance off at the Washington Memorial. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like basically,
this is the big thing everyone cites when they want to pull out the old hashtag so much for liberty argument with Kokesh is he danced at the Jefferson Memorial. Yeah.
Oh, that's their pro for him.
That's the big Trump card.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I mean, not that anything in liberty is really ever usually done alone, and not that it matters really who takes credit for something. But my friend Eddie Free did come up with that. Like he was sending emails, like inviting me, and I didn't even live anywhere near there. Like he was inviting everybody, and one of the people he invited was Kokesh, and you know, when the cameras showed up, Kokesh jumped in front and was like, yes, I invented this. This is my thing. And every, you know, or maybe he just was given credit for it and never acknowledged Eddie. But, yeah, that happened. And then he also, no, I won't talk about him sleeping with people's girlfriends. I won't say it. I won't even suggest that. All right. So, are we done?
But
are we done
franchise,
with our
franchise fees for protest? And yes, now we can move on to young Nicholas, who would like to impart his learning to the masses. Nick,
what did we do the other day? This next thing we're doing is we're talking about what life was like before the internet, and you were not alive before the internet. Now, I was gonna tie this to something we talked about the other night, and I can't remember what it was, and we didn't get around to this. Do you remember what it was? The other like. Let's ask Nick's life perspective on this because he's young. Do you remember what that was at all?
I'm blanking on it too, but I feel like it had something to do with Pokemon Go. But I'm forgetting as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Oh, books. Book virgins.
Books. Book virgins. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. So we talked about how there are people now who have never read a book. And we're not talking about, you know, they've never read a paper book. Like, we're talking about people who've never even read, like, an online complete novel-length book or, you know, how-to book that's, like, over 200 pages. So, we're going to talk about what life was like before the internet. So, Nick is 17. What year were you born, Nick?
1998.
Okay. I was on the internet in 1996. Not many people were. So, 2 years before
you were
born.
I was on in 97.
Yeah, I had DSL in 96. That's blazingly rare. And the only reason I had it was because to have DSL in 1996, you had to live in one of about five cities. It was like, you know, New York, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, and Austin or Houston. And you had to live within 1,000 feet of a phone company building. Like they could only run the wires that far, and it came over like regular phone lines. But yeah, I had DSL in 90, like late 96. And
in case you didn't know, Nick, DSL stands for deep seated libertarianism.
I wasn't wondering.
Yeah, it was the faster than dial up internet. Have you ever heard or used dial up internet, Nick? Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. I don't know if I've used it. Maybe when I was younger.
No, it was gone by the time you.
No, I know people who had it, who had dial up, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, some people still have it in the sticks. Very few people. Yeah, but it was really slow. And then DSL came along, and that was like a vast improvement. You know, it was mind blowing. And now DSL is like, ugh, it's so slow, and everyone's on cable. And now like cable is slow, and everyone and some people in some select cities like Austin are getting on this Google Fiber stuff that's blazingly fast, and you can like email a movie in 10 seconds or something.
Whoa.
But Yeah. It's but I actually have a cable line and a DSL line. I have a DSL line because the cable in my town is kind of wonky, and DSL, even though it's way slower, actually works a lot better for stuff like Fiendphone because it's a dedicated connection. Like I have my own a landline phone number dedicated to it, and it doesn't get any slower when your neighbors use internets. Whereas with cable, you know, like Jeremy has problems using Fiendphone, like not during hours we do the show, but he and I were troubleshooting last weekend, and like, you know, 8 o'clock on a Friday night, his cable
hot
internet
social
gets
life.
Really wonky because all his neighbors are downloading porn and Netflix and stuff and using a lot of internets. So yeah, DSL still has a purpose.
I have a technical question, Michael. Yes. If I am downloading pornography of women with large posteriors, is that going to take up more bandwidth than if I were getting porn of skinny women?
No. Okay. So go ahead and go for your fat bottom girls while you listen to Queen.
Listen, more like live like.
Live like a queen. All right, Nick, will you read this first part one on the Daily Dots article, Life Before the Internet?
Life Before the Internet.
And I'm going to interrupt you a bunch and ask you about this stuff.
All right. Looking up any piece of information was a pain in the butt. On the shelf in my parents' den was a full set of the World Book Encyclopedia.
I'm going to stop you right there. You ever seen an encyclopedia book set?
Yes. I don't know if I've seen whole set, but yes, at school.
Yep, at school. Nobody has these in their homes anymore. If they do, they're like using them to prop up the wobbly, you know, leg of a table or something.
Thrift stores have them.
Yeah, or you can hollow them out and hide guns in them. Although, you know, people are going to search them if they come in your house because who has those anymore? All right, go on.
Guns and books, The Road to Britannica.
These books were red with gold lettering on the cover, and they were beautiful. They also were the lifeline you needed whenever you had to write some stupid seventh grade paper on the origin of Czechoslovakia. Since Google didn't exist, heck, this was years before Ask Jeeves or AltaVista even, I'd have to shuffle over the... I don't know what Ask Jeeves or AltaVista is.
Those were search engines. AltaVista was...
Earlier.
Probably the first.
Yeah.
Yahoo came before that, but Yahoo wasn't technically a real search engine. It was a directory. Which is a search engine that's moderated by people. Mm. And AltaVista was the first, like, pure search engine. And then Ask Jeeves was a short-lived... I mean, these websites still exist, but only because people bought stock in them, and somehow that fuels the fact that they're still even up. Ask Jeeves was the first website that sort of worked in natural language. Like, you know how now you can just say to your cell phone, like, you know... What's the history of Czechoslovakia? Like before that, like with AltaVista, you had to put like Czechoslovakia plus history minus horses or whatever. You know, like you had to like do these kind of math equations in how you form the Boolean, as they
call
it.
That was very equinophobic.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, Czechoslovakia does have a rich horse history, or it did. All right, go on, Nick.
Oh, well, I guess we'll have to come
back. Or go on the break, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be back with more encyclopedias in
Freedom Fiends
with guns inside
on the radio.
Yeah.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Tired of those men.
There existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Yak, don't talk back. You know that one, Nick?
Yeah, I do.
How do you know that one?
Unfortunately. Because people bring it up to me. Old people bring it up.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
I had that single when I was a kid, a vinyl 7-inch that I got inherited from my siblings, older siblings. That, and I do remember also the single that I inherited from them called One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater.
People Eater.
You heard that one? Oh. We sang that when I was a kid in school.
I'll bet you did.
You see, I had a compilation CD because I'm a little younger than Michael.
Because you're a comedian.
And it was called Wacky Favorites, and it had all the funny songs from throughout history on it. And oh man, did I love me some Wacky Favorites.
You know what? One of the
boy from Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him that he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd sit and listen carefully, and pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, "Oh my, it's do or die. I've got to learn that auction cry. Gonna make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bidding now. Will you give me 30?
Okay,
give me
30. Enough of that, Miller. So
auctioneer." You know, there's no auctioneering on the Fiends.
One of my favorite, this is not the Grandpa Butt Dial show. So one of my favorite songs of that variety is actually a parody. It's on 30 Rock, and it's by Tracy Morgan, played by Tracy Jordan, or the other way around. I can never remember which, but it's a song called Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. You ever heard this one?
Oh, yeah.
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves. Yeah. Are you a 30 Rock fan, Steve?
Yeah, it's funny. I like
good,
it.
Good. I really do respect your comedic. I thought you were going to say, "Oh, that's too commercial. That's stupid." No, but there's some smart humor on there. And they got some.
I just dress like a hipster. I know. Yeah.
Hannibal Buress was one of the writers on that show. Do you like him? I really like him a lot.
I like him.
He did a drop-in set at a club I was at one time. It was cool.
Nice. He's also one of the voices. Of one of the animals in my new favorite movie, The Secret Life of Pets. He plays the dachshund, the kind of stoner dachshund. Yeah. But he kind of blacked it up for that. His character in that sounds blacker than he sounds. He sounds like a white stoner hipster from Brooklyn. And he's not white, but he's a stoner hipster from Brooklyn. But yeah, they had him talking kind of black.
Am I black enough for you?
All right. So we're talking, you know, Brian Eno once said, before we get back to the internet, that the Velvet Underground only sold 50,000 records, but everyone who bought one of those records started a band. And I kind of feel the same way about the Freedom Fiends, because I was just looking at my Amazon affiliate links, and I don't know who ordered it, but I can see what they ordered, and somebody just ordered one of these microphones that I recommend, the Samson Q2U, which is it's a USB mic that's a lot like the Audio Technica that you guys are using, but a little cheaper and $49, and it comes with headphones. And it is the one that the cop shooter, the one that shot the cops in Baton Rouge and had a podcast that sounded better than most people's podcast. He was using this mic, and I don't think he ordered it through my affiliate link, but somebody just did. So, you know, the Freedom Fiends are not.
I don't know who ordered it, but I know they're an alphapreneur.
They are an alphapreneur. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who ordered it, but we're not the most popular podcast of liberty and radio in the world. But I do think that we are the Johnny Appleseed of good audio, and I think we have contributed to starting more podcasts than Adam Kokesh. Although I've heard podcasts started by fans of Adam Kokesh. They're usually on Talk Shoe, and they're usually unlistenable. Yep. All right. So
before
the internet, Nick, tell us more.
I think we kind of covered the looking up stuff on in encyclopedias.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but also you couldn't when you finally got your information, you couldn't just like copy and paste it and save it. You had to put a dime into the Xerox machine. You know, I love rock and roll, so put another dime into the Xerox
machine. Don't put another dime in the Xerox.
Yeah. Or copied out by hand. Yeah. And since Siri didn't exist, we couldn't simply ask our corded landline phones when that ruddy, good-looking businessman Donald Trump had been born. We'd have to crack open the T edition of the encyclopedia and find out ourselves. You know what's funny? Now that Donald Trump is running for president of the world and crazy and crazier than he ever's been is watching old episodes of Law and Order from the 90s, just how often they mention that guy in that show. It's uncanny. Like, I think you,
Trump?
Yeah, yeah. They mention him all the time. Yeah, like usually to make fun of like gangsters who think that they're all that, you know, have a little gold around their neck. They're like, you ain't Donald Trump. Get in the cage, you know.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Nick,
I don't have it up.
This is the Freedom Feed. Looking up the intro for the second hour. High
with the Dewey Decimal System.
High atop the Dewey Decimal Plaza. We look up your encyclopedias of liberty and call you on the telephone. And caller ID hasn't come out yet, so it's just a blind guess as to who's going to be on the other end of that phone. By God, it could be for your sister. It could be a telemarketer. It could be the cops. But you'll pick it up anyway because you think it might be the cute girl from geography class. All things on the Freedom Fiends are covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. We also want to remind you that Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. And Donald Trump is a liar, a socialist, and is the vibrator in Hillary Clinton's sock drawer.
Yep, he's all up in there. He's pretending. It's like professional wrestling. You know those two go have a beer after.
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame. He would be our first president to be in a pro wrestling Hall of Fame.
Nice, nice. So we're talking about
yes,
the good
we can.
Old days. Steve's 33. I'm 134. No, he's 34. I don't remember all my grandson's birthdays anymore. That's you guys. I'm 52. And
heavens.
Nick is 17, and we're reading an article and commenting on it. It's called What Life Was Like Before the Internet on thedailydot.com. And I used to hang out in libraries. I used to hang out in libraries for a number of reasons. One is I liked information, and there was no usable internet in the 70s. Another is it was a good excuse to tell my mother I'm going down to the library because it was two blocks away, and I'd go down to the library and meet my friends out back and smoke weed. But then I'd go back into the library. And the other was, like, I wanted to be a writer, you know, my whole life. Like, I pictured writers to have these wonderful lives, living in mansions and having servants waiting on them and petting their pet panther while they smoked opium or something. And apparently, once I became a professional writer, I discovered it wasn't quite like that. I was still living in a studio apartment. But petting my cats and smoking cigarettes. Yeah. So talk about the checking out a library book, whatever that was. Nick, do you know what a library book is?
I actually do. I've checked out library books, but not in a long time.
Yeah.
I get those things online now.
Yeah. So nowadays.
Nowadays, you don't ever need to step foot into a library in order to read a book for free. Libraries have digital downloads you can check out, and even if you don't have a Kindle or a smartphone, you can look up whatever book you need online and then simply have the library system deliver it to whatever branch is most convenient for you.
They've had that for a long time. Yeah. Not the look it up online part, but, you know, in the 70s when I was a kid, if I wanted a book that my library didn't have, they would, you know, there was the interlibrary loan system. They'd get it from
Iowa,
you know,
yep.
Buffalo or something, have it sent, shuffled off to Buffalo to get it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Have it smuggled.
Have it smuggled. Yeah. You know when I gave up physical books, it was after I got sick. It was last year, you know, when I was really, really sick. And I ordered this book about dealing with allergies. I ordered it used on Amazon, and I got it, and it was moldy, and I started to sneeze as soon as I cracked the book on allergies. And I threw it in the trash and ordered it on Kindle. You know, my wife is read like a book a week her whole life. She loves books, fiction mostly. And I tried to get her a Kindle, like, you know, when they first came out, and she was like, no. She was so resistant to it, man. And she now she loves it. She's had one for about 2 years. She loves it. But we still have the like 900 paperback books in the basement on shelves. And she says she's keeping them for the end of the world. Like, literally, she's keeping them because if the power went out for a week, she would go nuts unless she had, as she says, Heinlein put it, words in a row to read. Like, that makes her brain work right. All right. So, Dewey Decimal. Do you know what the Dewey Decimal System is?
I do. I don't know how it works, but I know that it's a system.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are your friends impressed that you're on radio? Or are they like, radio, what's that?
I think that's mostly what it is like, radio, what's that? Yeah, they don't seem to be that impressed, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So the Dewey Decimal System, it was named for Dewey, but Dewey didn't want to call it the Dewey Decimal System. Dewey wanted to call it the Book Dot No Librarian License. Because they have dots in them. It's like a period. Yeah.
So libraries were these places that had those physical moldy books that made you sneeze, and they had this physical moldy catalog that was in these little drawers that, you know, you'd have like CH through CO, DE through DF, you know, like you'd look up, and they kind of worked, they kind of didn't, you know, you'd look them up by topic, author, or title, and they were rarely updated, and they weren't cross-referenced, and they weren't relational databases the way the internet is, and they were a hassle, but nerds like me memorized them. And, you know, I would just know, like, oh, well, the, you know, automotive repair, that's in the, I would know, like, where it was in my local library. All right, next part, getting paid by check was a disaster.
Still am.
Still am? Still is?
Yep.
No,
it
isn't.
Not according to this, because you can just scan it on your phone.
Yeah, checks are better than cash.
Why, yeah. Nick?
Because you can scan it. I sometimes like to be paid in cash because I don't. Well, maybe I shouldn't say, but I like.
Yeah, we got it. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. If you were a babysitter or held any kind of part-time retail job, it was preferable to be paid in cash. Yeah. Because if you were given a check, you'd need to spend time to actually turning in the money so you could use it. Most likely, you'd have to find the nearest bank, endorse the check, and get the teller to run it through the bank system before finally pocketing your cash. A couple of months ago, I had an epiphany regarding the babysitters we use for my children. Since we pay our babysitters by check, we still have a checking account and everything. I wondered if we should pay them in cash or by PayPal or Venmo or some other app that I don't know about, so I asked. Nope, one of our babysitters said, yeah, a check is fine. Really? Yeah, I just go and deposit the check on my phone. It's so easy. Of course. Of course. Yeah, I like being paid in checks because it'll go right to my account and then I can use my card.
I like being paid in Bitcoin.
I don't like being paid in checks. Cool. I prefer to be paid in Slovaks. you know this? You went to the encyclopedia and did your report on the history of Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So what's next, Nick? You got any experience, strength, and hope about that topic?
What do you mean about checks?
Yeah, checks versus cash.
Versus I don't know. I just
whatever.
Some people, it just depends on who it is, really. I know people who like to be paying cash over checks because they don't want to go to the bank. Well, most of them, like some people still don't have the apps on their phone. They'll have the phone and they won't download the app because they're just not that savvy. So I don't know. But I like it. I like checks because I have my Sprig app.
Sprig?
Yep.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a banking account sort of thing.
Do you have a Bitcoin wallet on your phone?
I do. I have Airbits.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you used it?
No, I almost used it at Porkfest, but the Wi-Fi there kind of sucked, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to get to the right spot.
I have a Donald Trump-themed Bitcoin app on my phone. It's called Hairbits. Hacky.
All right. What's next, Nick?
Nobody complained about spoilers. It was much harder before the internet to accidentally find out what happened at the end of Empire Strikes Back.
I disagree with this.
This is only partially true.
It was harder to find out about it, but people really cared about spoilers. Like, there's actually some old movie, I forget what it is, that's before the internet, and it's like, there's a scene where there's a bunch of people waiting in line for some movie, and someone coming out of it. I think it's Homer Simpson.
It is Simpsons.
Like, what does he say? Like, Gandalf dies in the end or something.
Who would have known that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Yeah, and everyone in line goes, oh! And like half of them walk out of the line and leave. Yeah.
But people didn't people didn't make a big deal out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. In the 21st century, I accidentally find out the results of the boxing event I'm DVRing because one of my dumb friends on Facebook haphazardly jokes about it in 10 minutes after the fight.
How are you watching boxing in the current year?
Yeah, yeah. Watch MMA.
Pugilism. Check your privilege, bro. Like, that's violence. Like, yeah. I mean, it might be voluntary, but like, people are aggressing, and yeah.
Stop being a parody of a social justice warrior. You like football, don't you,
Steve? I love it, but that's something I like, so it doesn't apply.
All right.
I think boxing is kind of boring, but MMA fights are.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, spoilers. We kind of covered that one. You don't get spoilers.
MMA is mixed minarchist and anarchist, right?
Ah. Good one.
What I can't remember though about spoilers before the internet is if the term spoiler alert existed, Steve.
No.
Remember?
No, it like, absolutely did. Like, because spoilers were something you put on your car back then.
Yeah. But so like when people reviewed movies on TV or in magazines, what did they just never give spoilers? Like, you can't really properly review a movie without saying something that's sort of a spoiler, you know?
Yeah, but you'd know not to read them because they had like a little heading that was like review.
No,
of
but you da-da. Wanted to you wanted to read them to see if you should go to the movie if it was a reviewer you trusted.
Yeah, and that's why they had star systems. They'd be like a 3-star.
Check four. The stars and not read it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This number 5 is my favorite. We didn't know everybody's bad opinions on every single topic possible. I have a saying, a take on this one. It's that, and I came up with this like. Before Nick was born, I think. 1999. Was Nick alive then?
Yeah, he was one. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I said, the great thing about the internet is you get to talk to people that you'd never meet otherwise, period. The horrible thing about the internet is that you get to talk to people you'd never meet otherwise. It's such a double-edged sword. And I've heard that mm-hmm. double-edged sword is a bad analogy because, you know, even a single-edged sword can kill you easily. So read on, young Nick, about the internet for better or worse.
Sure. The internet for better or for worse makes us aware of every terrible opinion everybody in the world has on every conceivable subject. It's a disaster. And I guess we'll come back in our
Fiend phone.
Times.
Fiend phone.
More disaster. After the break. After the break.
With more bad opinions about the internet.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Yeah.
We're back. Gangster we're back. Popeye's back on Facebook as Popeye the Gangster.
Yeah. Right. There we go. I got you.
Yeah, there we go. So. Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
I learned during the break that Gangster Popeye is back on Facebook. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Gangster Popeye,
it's like Libertarian Spider-Man.
Yeah, he brought so many memes of joy into our lives, just like Libertarian Spider-Man. And he was kicked off of Facebook randomly and is now back in a new page called Popeye the Gangster. So that and Purse First, both highly
Gangster
recommended.
Popeye is still on. Is still up now.
Is it back up? All right. The lame reason that Facebook gave for taking that was that they were impersonating the president of the United States. Like, they said that Gangster Popeye was the president. And he said it in like... yeah.
You know, I read an article in, I think it was Wired Magazine or something like that. We actually covered it on Facebook one time. And it was, on the free Facebook. Ugh, the Freedom Fiends. Why? That's... I need to find myself for that.
The Facebook fiends.
The face fiends. And it was an article about the people, mostly in the Philippines, who make like $1 an hour, which is, you know, pretty good wages compared to like, you know, India or something. But they get paid, you know, these rooms full of people they have that do the vetting of the alleged rule breaking on social networks. So like when five or six people hit report on something on Facebook, it goes to an actual person usually in the Philippines. And the reason they picked the Philippines are A, most people there can speak English. B, you know, they'll work for slave wages, but not as cheap as like, you know, people in China or, you know, Taiwan or wherever, Korea. But you know, they'll work for $1 an hour, not $1 a day like India, but $1 an hour. And they have this is the funny part. They have a similar moral outrage sensibility to people in America. It's a Catholic country. They're kind of appalled by the same things that, you know, snooty Americans are appalled by. So they're perfectly suited for this job. And I've heard that people tend to not do this job very long because they said it's basically just, let me clean it up for radio. But, you know, in addition to like vetting arguments of like, is Popeye Gangster really pretending to be the president to where people are going to be confused? Where they have like, most of what they do is just look at, schlongs and murder all day long. Like most of what they have to vet is like hardcore sex and usually just close-ups of genitals, like not even, you know, with a person pictured with it, just the genital, or just horribly hideous, you know, murder pictures. That's most of what gets reported, other than, you know, social justice warriors reporting conservatives and libertarians for free speech, but because they feel triggered. But yeah, it sounds like a horrible job, and I'm really glad that I don't do that. So back to the internet and other horrible things about it. Read on, Nick. Young Nick, who's 17, who didn't exist before the World Wide Web, and two other old guys, me and Steve, I'm really old, talking about what life was like before the internet. So go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, this is the section. We didn't know everybody's bad opinion on every single topic possible. In our simpler times, you would actually had to seek out those hot takes, either via AM talk radio,
or that's us.
The letters, yeah, or the letters to the editor section of the local newspaper. And even then, the opinions weren't quite as despicable, probably because it took more effort to find a pen, paper, and a mailing address to send a letter to the editor, and it was more work to track down a radio program's phone number and then have to wait on hold for 2 hours in order to have your 2 minutes of talking time. Now you can just immediately vomit up whatever you want online, and people have to read it while holding their noses.
Speaking of reading it while holding your noses, you can actually, I do a lot of my opining on the internet while on the toilet. So literally it is I am doing on the internet what I'm doing while I'm typing it on the internet with my thumbs. Yeah. You know, and also because of the signal to noise ratio of everyone being able to yell about everything, things that used to trigger the authorities don't anymore. The so-called authorities. One example is before Like, even after the internet existed, but before it was widely adopted, like, people got visits from the FBI for letters to the editor. Now, in my Facebook feed, every day I see, like, 40 things that are far more shocking that never get any attention than those letters to the editor that got people visited by the authorities for complaining about the government hard.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Yeah. So we've been talking about what the internet was like. What the world was like before the internet. And Steve brought up a good topic, which was bullying before the internet. And I was just trying to type the show notes for this, and I typed Nick Hazelton, and my spell check tried to change it to Nick Hazelnut. So I will start this segment by bullying Nick Hazelnut by calling him that, or maybe I'll call him Hick Nazelton. You ever been called that?
Hazelton. I feel like I have, but I don't remember, where. I don't think so. You might have been the first one because you.
How about Nick Hazelnut?
I've been called Hazelnut many, many times.
It's probably because spell check. Some spell checks change it to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think they're clever. They're like, "Oh, Hazelton, that's like Hazelnut. You ever heard that before, Nick?" I'm like, "No, I've never heard that before."
So, young Nicholas, you went to school before you said, screw you guys, I'm getting a yak. And you went to school in the like post-bullying era. People talk about bullying now. Nobody talked about bullying before, 2003, 2004, like somewhere around there. That was a completely post-internet phenomenon because people, would blog their experiences.
I was bullied. Were you bullied, Miller?
I mean, come on. I was gayer than Gay Gayerson marching down Gay Avenue on the morning of the Gay Pride Parade, of course.
You know, there's actually a, what's the comedian that I think is good and you think is a hack? I can never remember his name. It's a weird name. He's an anti-gun guy, though.
The cop block comedian.
Famous guy. The guy that voiced Ratatouille. We had this discussion last night.
Patton Oswalt.
He actually has Patton a thing. Oswalt. About bullying, gays being bullied in rural, where Nick lives, rural Oregon. He says he has a nephew. Really? Yeah, he says he has a friend. No, he has a nephew who's gay and goes to school in rural Oregon.
And where at?
I don't know where, but the guy telling the story had gone to that same school in that same town and was also gay. It wasn't him. It wasn't a comedian. He was telling someone else's story, a friend of his. But he said that, when the guy telling the story went to this school, like, he got beat up all the time, got teased all the time, in the 70s. And he went back to visit for a family reunion or something, and he was talking to his nephew, who's like 16 and gay and going to the same school, and he's like, if anyone ever hassles you, man, if you ever get any crap, you let me know. I'll see what I can do about it. I'll he was fuming, like protective of the kid. And the kid was like, yeah, well, they kind of are oppressing us. I mean, they're making us have our prom a different day than the main prom. And he's like, what? That's oppression. Like, look, they're letting you have a prom. You're not being oppressed, man. Not like when I was your age. Yeah, I got beat up for being gay, and I wasn't even gay. That's how, like, bullying was back then. Like, you know, if you didn't play sports ball.
Well, you had to go look it up in the gay encyclopedia to see first, if somebody was gay. And a lot of the people that would get mad about it were illiterate. So, you know.
Yeah, and you know, now, like, bullying on
social justice language.
Bullying on the internet. Like, the thing is, there's a block button on the internet. There wasn't in real life. I didn't get bullied too bad. You know, I had a few friends, but they didn't really have my back. They were other nerds, other word nerds and book kids and skinny kids and asthmatics that, you know, couldn't defend me. But I kind of stuck up for myself. I remember this one thing. When my parents got divorced, I went and lived with my dad for 3 months before I got shipped off to boarding school, to Church Farm School. Bingo. And so I was in a new school, like, you know, like middle of seventh grade, like went to a new school I'd never been to before. And since I was the new kid, some of the dumb jocks were bullying me. And these were kids that easily could have kicked my butt. And they were threatening to every day for like a week. And one day we were in chemistry class, and the teacher went out of the room for a minute, and we were doing something with zinc, like, you know, chunks of metallic zinc. And I put on a glove and reached into the metallic zinc and grabbed a handful of it and stuck it in the lead bully's face, like an inch from his nose. And you know that thing of, like, it's scary when people yell at you, but it's scarier when they get quiet. It's like, kind of sets off like the reptilian part of your brain or something. Like, I stuck this powdered metal in his face that really couldn't have hurt him at all, and said, like, you know, if you keep messing, like, got in his ear and said, like, if you keep messing me, I'm gonna shove this down your nose and down your throat. And they freaked out. They never bullied me again. And the next day I came into school, and, like, you know, my dad was sitting there in the, I got called to the principal's office, and my dad was sitting there, like the bullies, these pusses, you know, like, were threatening to beat me up all the time. And I stuck up for myself, and they reported me, man. That is typical bully behavior. You got anything like that, Steve?
Yeah. Yep. Exact same thing happened where, these two kids were constantly on me every single day. Oh, you know.
They're on you like gay on Filipino?
All day. And this was how oppressed I was. We had one Korean exchange student in the entire school. I feel that I, as a young rice queen, should have been entitled to at least a good, dozen. and that notwithstanding, these two kids. And
I'm Googling rice queen, by the way. I don't have to go to the library and look it up. Not that I could have.
They were awful to me in two separate classes. I had two classes with both these kids, and they would kind of play off of each other. And one of them lives in Hartford, Connecticut now, which I think is the ultimate punishment. Says the man in Kensington. And then the other one, you know what he's doing, Michael W. Dean?
What?
Take a guess.
Talk radio.
Okay. Nick, do you have a guess?
Comedy.
He's dead. He was in the Marines, and he tried to get me to join the Marines. And he was like, yo, man, he's like, you got to come join the Marines. I'm like, actually, I've already been accepted to college, and I would hate the military. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're just mad because you can't hack it. And you know what he couldn't hack? Roadside bombs in Fallujah.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon. It was a decade ago. And everybody like made the newspaper did like a centerfold spread of like what a hero he was. And I wrote an angry letter to the editor, and they did not run it, and my mom was mad at me. But anyway.
So I'm looking at Urban Dictionary. Rice queen is a homosexual male of non-Asian descent who is predominantly attracted to Asian males. Contrary to derisive stereotypes, let's see, rice queens fall within a wide age range, as may the objects of their physical and romantic attraction. Okay, this is boring, but the really interesting thing is, I also found for you.
Well,
Steve,
there's a stereotype that most rice queens look like Jerry Sandusky.
Ah, okay.
And if you're a rice queen that's willing to like take them larger, or if you like them big, then yeah, I mean, the world's your oyster, because their only options are you or a dude that looks like Jerry Sandusky,
yeah,
or Bob Barker. There's a lot of ones that look like.
Here's
Bob
what
Barker
you need.
Too.
There is a restaurant in Australia called Rice Queen Oriental Diner and Bar.
I think you should go there.
Yeah. Take some pictures. I hate Australian accent, though. Although, I was watching a video, great video on YouTube, going to recommend it, called Sovereign Citizens Getting Owned Compilation.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, 35 minutes of just people who are really bad at argumentation and situational awareness getting beat on.
And reality.
And pretty divorced from reality. And there's one clip in it from Australia, and there's a checkpoint, and this guy's like, well, toss on you, mate. And he drives on through it, and he gets chased by these three cops, and they wind up like cornering him. And then this one cop, the cop supervisor, comes up, because they have a white shirt just like in the U.S., and he's got total Australian face, and he winds up smashing the dude's window in, which is a common result in these sovereign citizens getting owned compilations.
Yeah.
A lot of windows getting smashed.
I don't like it, but I think it's
funny.
It is funny. But here's my thing. Like, I wouldn't want to see a compilation of cop blockers getting beat up by police. Recently I looked at a video on YouTube that was put out by a Florida sheriff's department, a training film trying to teach officers to beware of sovereign citizens, and basically implies that it basically conflates cop blockers with sovereign citizens, and basically says if someone even asks you why they're being pulled over, let alone am I free to go, you know, am I being detained, let alone anything sovereign citizen-y, that, you know, that's where cop blockers and sovereign citizens could start. But then, you know, sovereign citizens take it to a whole nother weirdo level. But this video basically implies that anyone who doesn't entirely absolutely submit and comply is probably going to kill you, which is a really dangerous thing for cops to think, because it's going to get, you know, drivers and cops killed. And really, the cops just, they shouldn't be pulling people over, stealing their money. But go on, Steve, talk about your gays.
Yeah. And what do you mean, talk about my gays? I don't own any gays. You got a lesbian in your pocket?
Yeah. All right.
Being gay pre-internet was interesting, too, because you were, like, very limited to
you had to put ads in papers to meet people or go to bars.
And bars were a big thing, too. Most gay bars are filled with straight women now. And
really?
If you enjoy bad dance music played at absolutely intolerably loud levels, the gay bars got your back.
Huh. How'd that happen? Because straight women who aren't trying to get picked up go there to feel safe.
I think that's part of it. And then also, like, a lot of these dudes that, like, go to the bars a lot have a lot of female friends. And, yeah, they're, like, drinking. And, yep, I think it all plays a part. But
what do you think, Nick?
I don't know. I never really enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed the bars as, like, a means of, you know, getting into the old papa's on with an Asian man, but not like the experience itself, because, like, I don't really like drinking all that much. And like I said, the music was always awful, and it was always just incredibly loud. And not a loud music guy. I know that you're the band Bomb Bingo, but never was my thing. I'm going to a Luke Bryan concert tomorrow. I mean,
what's Clinton? Really? Clinton Cash. Oh, yeah. Talk about Luke Bryan for a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to see Luke Bryan tomorrow. Jealous?
A little bit.
Do you go ironically, and or do you really like country music?
Oh, I really, I like a country. So fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll be black third act after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues.
No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Bring it on home, Miller Miller.
All right. So, folks, even in the darkest of times, even in the lowest of places, we can all take solace.
Wait, you mean the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia?
That is exactly of which I'm speaking. Within the next 24 hours, Crooked Hillary will give her speech. She'll socialist it up for everybody. And you know, the woman that you used to work at the Apple store with will be all gooey in the pants about how great Hillary is. And, you know, people get unfollowed on the Book of Feces. But
who worked at the Apple store? I missed that part.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you had a job where there were a lot of people that were susceptible to falling for the ploys of Democrats, yeah, that you'd work at such a place. I could have just as easily said if some of the people you stock groceries with at Trader Joe's were they, you know, whatever.
In other words, but, the useful idiots of capitalism that criticize capitalism.
These people guarantee you, no matter how awful Hillary does, we'll be gushing tomorrow. And we'll talk about how great she is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. First of all, don't take the bait. Secondly, remember my joy and make it your own, because my city will be free of these people. They're all getting on planes, and they're all leaving, and they're all going back to Sacramento and Austin, Texas, and other places to go be at cocktail parties and be reminded how great they are and smell their own farts and wipe their fingers in their butts and then smell it. And that's how these people live. And they're going to be gone from my town, and I'll be back to nothing but dope heads, people that buy everything with food stamps, and folks that are fighting on their cell phones while in transit to go fight somebody else. And that's what I want. I just want my city back. Take your commies back. Take your Food Not Bombs back. Take your Hillary back. Take your goofy Elizabeth Warren back. Get Democrats. And I know there's at least the Democrats that are at the NSA listening to this show. Please take your people. Go. Be gone.
You have to keep replacing those people at the NSA, though, because we keep converting them to liberty and they keep losing their jobs. Yep. So, Nick.
Is no status being, association. That's what they call the NSA now.
Nick, is your town being overrun by socialists?
Not full of meth or Fall City. It's still running around little tweakers.
Hey, Steve, I need a name for an app that would be for hooking up prostitutes that'll take yak meat as payment for people that have yak meat and want prostitutes. What would we call that app? Think about that for a sec, Steve.
I'm trying to understand the concept again. It's prostitutes who want yak meat with people that are willing to pay their prostitutes in yak meat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A side piece of yak is the name of the app.
Too long. Too long.
Side piece.
Yak meat. Nah.
Yak jerky. So,
Think about
I'm
it.
Gonna have to, yeah. All right,
so, Nick.
We'll get it on Twitter.
Tell me more about, you got any yak news? Or farm news?
I'm getting, I just sold a bunch of pigs, so I'm making a little bit of money here, which is exciting for me. I still have my parents' basement, but I made a little bit of money.
The libertarian way.
Yeah. So, but
you're
I'm
40.
You're not 40. You're 17.
Not it's yet. Okay. I don't have a neck beard. I don't have any facial hair. But we butchered a yak a couple weeks ago, and that's exciting. I'll be back at the market. If you are local here in the Corvallis, Benton County, Polk County area in Oregon,
he takes Bitcoin.
I will. I'll take Bitcoin. Go to the Corvallis Bitcoin. Farmers Market on Saturday. But do the hookers. Saturday. And I'll be there. And I've got two yak skulls that I'm really excited to use for something.
Yak what?
Skulls.
Skulls?
Yeah.
Wow. You could drink your first legal drink out of one. Can you make a gigantic
bolo tie?
I don't want to. What was that, Steve?
I asked if you could make me a gigantic Flavor Flav style bow tie.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The X skull is the clasp.
I can make you one out of a tooth. That would be hot. I might do that. Would that count as my union dues for a year?
I'll give you 2 years for that.
Sweet.
Nice. That'd be a good conversation.
Never negotiate on air, because now Jeremy's going to come at me. Ace Ventura voluntary is detective, and he's gonna try to come at me with pet sitting services or something. And he's gonna want like a decade now. Never negotiate on air. Take home lesson.
Yeah, because on air there's a record of it too.
Yep.
You can't make promises and not keep them as well. Well, people do. Politicians do. But
yep.
Yeah.
So it goes.
Last Exit to Springfield. You ever seen that Simpsons? The union one where Homer becomes the head of the union, Steve?
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. Dental plan.